So we come to the first Sunday of a new year, and we're excited to be here, excited to come before our God and honor Him with praises and remember His Son. I'm just so thankful that you can be here this morning to engage in these worship activities with us. We're happy that you're here. If you're visiting with us, you're especially our guest, and thankful that you can participate in honoring our God this morning. Well, if we've learned anything over the last year or two, from all that we've been through, political strife and social upheaval and a global pandemic and the loss of loved ones, many loved ones, innumerable obstacles to our faith seem to present themselves almost on a daily basis. If we've learned anything from all of these obstacles that have been thrown in our path by the devil himself, if we learn anything, it's that we need endurance. It's a long haul, and if you're a Christian, you're in it for the long haul. And you must approach it, even as the song we just sang indicates, looking to Jesus, ever looking to Jesus. And in doing that, we'll find the endurance that it's going to take to live the life that God wants us to live and to be, as we talked about all of last year, transformed in the image of His Son, despite whatever difficulties come, despite whatever things that we're facing, in globally, locally, in our families, with our health, with our finances, whatever it might be, whatever temptations and trials and afflictions that we have to endure, if we'll look to Jesus, we can do it. And that's really our theme this year, running with endurance, looking to Jesus. In 1986, the New York City Marathon was won by an Italian runner. Gianni Poli was his name. In a time of 2 hours and 11 minutes. That's pretty quick to run a marathon. In the year 2003, the Los Angeles Marathon was won by a guy by the name of Mark Yerrick, who is from Kenya. And he won that race in a time of 2 hours and 10 minutes. I'm telling you about those two races because, not because of the winners. You might think, well, we're going to be talking about a marathon and endurance and all of that sort of thing. But what's interesting about those two races and what they have in common is that the same guy finished last in both races. And his name was Bob Weiland. And in the New York City Marathon of 1986, Bob Weiland finished in a time of 98 hours and a few minutes. In 2003, he finished the Los Angeles Marathon in 173 hours. He got slower, but he was 57 years of age. You might think, well, why am I telling you about the last place guy? Because he did it with no legs. He ran it on his arms. Endurance isn't about ability. Endurance isn't about whether or not you have legs. Something else about things that make endurance happen. Bob Weiland has done quite a number of other things. He lost his legs, by the way, in 1969 in the Vietnam War. He finished the Ironman triathlon in Hawaii. You know, the swim and bike and run. He finished that. He used an arm-propelled bicycle to go back and forth across the United States twice. He has walked back and forth across the United States. Took him 3 years, 8 months, and 6 days, walking on his hands. I don't know anything about his religious beliefs at all. But when asked how he lived his life without legs, he said, one step at a time. And when asked how he was able to do all of these amazing things. He said, it was done by the grace of God. He knows a little bit about endurance, I think. The wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11 said that the race is not to the swift. The race is not to the swift. It is often the persistent plodders, the ones who keep on keeping on, the ones with the less talent and ability. When all seems lost, when it seems that the distance is insurmountable, it's the ones with endurance who finish. We need endurance. If we've learned anything in recent years, it is the value and need of endurance. So the question is, how can we develop it? We're picking this as our theme this year. How can we run with endurance? Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like you to turn there, contains a great list of people. We're very familiar with this text. I'm not going to be saying much new to you about what's in Hebrews 11 in the first part of chapter 12 this morning, but we do need to get this before our minds. It contains a great list of people who by faith ran with endurance. And you start out with Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and it continues on through a great many Bible characters of the Old Testament. The list is astounding. The things that people went through by faith, the things that they endured. And Hebrews 11, of course, sort of ends, starting in about verse 32, with this very moving description of faith that was triumphant, of faith that endured. The writer asks, "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." You want to talk about endurance. They were tortured. They could have accepted a deliverance, but they didn't. And he goes on to say, "Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, floggings," one translation says. "Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy." Here's living endurance depicted before us. We cannot hardly begin to imagine the things that these people went through. We as a whole, and very few of us, if any, individually have been through anything like what these people endured. But they endured, and so can we. That's the message, at least in part, of this section of the book of Hebrews. We are encouraged to run with endurance as they did. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," he's talking about the people we just read about. Those people, "since we're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us." I want to say a little bit about those witnesses. They're not merely people who have watched something happen. We think of a witness as, okay, well, they've watched something happen. Yeah, they experienced something. They saw it. That's true. And they're not merely people that are as if they're sitting in the stands of heaven now and we're in the arena on earth and they're cheering us on. I think they're doing that. But I don't really think that's the main thing that the Hebrew writer has in mind here. They're witnesses. A witness is someone who sees something or experiences something and then tells you about it. As the writer says in Hebrews 11, they being dead yet speak. What are they saying to us? What are these great people of faith saying to us? They're saying, we ran with endurance. And you can too. You can finish your race. We did it, so can you. We're surrounded by people who are telling us this, speaking from millennia past into our present age, and saying, you can do this. We have that cheering section, but a cheering section of people who have accomplished what they are encouraging us to accomplish. The word endurance, which we'll talk a lot about this year. In this particular instance, there are several words that are translated endurance or patience sometimes, steadfastness other times, diligence even. But this particular word means steadfastness or constancy. Thayer defines it in the New Testament as the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith, even in the greatest of trials and sufferings. So he's not going to stop. He's not going to turn aside from his faith, from his piety, from his life in Christ, no matter how hard it gets. How hard it is doesn't make any difference. Endurance is what says that. We're just going to go through it. It is translated patiently, steadfastly, and perseverance. These all finish, these witnesses that are cheering us on, they all had endurance. They all ran by faith. We also must run with endurance by faith. What fuels the endurance? What makes that happen? What makes it possible? You know, Olympic athletes are big eaters. I know sometimes when the Olympics are going on, especially the Summer Olympics, some of the reporters will maybe go into the Olympic Village and they'll show where a lot of the Olympians are staying and even sometimes that they're eating in some big cafeteria or dining hall or something like that. And you would be astounded to know how much food has to be stocked in those dining halls, because Olympians are really big eaters because they need endurance. There was a reporter that did some looking into this back a few years ago at the Olympics in Rio. And she talked to a rower from the United States, a guy by the name of Seth Wheel. And she just asked him about, what do you eat? You know, she was fascinated how much food was being eaten by all these Olympians. She said, what do you eat? Well, Seth Wheel is a rower, he's a distance rower, and he rows just in practice 124 miles a week. You can only imagine how many calories that burns. So he's eating all the time. Here's his daily menu. You ready? 6:30 a.m., 2 cups of coffee, peanut butter and jelly in a flour tortilla. 6:30 to 9, 50 ounces of water, 30 ounces of Gatorade, bacon, egg, cheese sandwich with avocado, everything on a bagel, and a side of fruit salad, strawberries, pineapples, blueberries, cantaloupe, and another 15 to 16 ounces of coffee. That's when he gets to 9 o'clock in the morning. Mid-morning, he has dried cranberries, pretzels, chips, some hummus, another 30, 40 ounces of water. At 11:30, he has a vegetable snack, arugula salad, cucumbers, red bell pepper. At noon, then he stops for lunch. You know, he has to stop all this eating to have lunch. At noon, he has several, at least 3 carne asada tacos with cilantro, onion, lime, and so on and so forth. By 2 o'clock, in time for his second practice, he has an energy bar, mint chocolate usually, 20 ounces of Gatorade, 60 to 80 ounces of water. And then at 4 o'clock, right after practice, he has a protein shake, Cinnamon Toast Crunch granola, a bunch of milk, 8 ounces of milk at least, 20 ounces of water. At 6:30, then he has a salad of shredded kale, carrots, red peppers, all kinds of other stuff on it. 2 chicken breasts in it, by the way, just 2. And 20 ounces of water, then some ice cream. And then at 9 o'clock, he eats some Trader Joe's hummus and about 10 Altoids. So that's his diet for the day. You say, how does any human being eat that much? He needs it for endurance. He needs it for endurance. He's not a fat man, okay? He's not a big guy. He burns all of that up, enduring things. Now, so here's the question. What is our energy? You know, food has energy. It has calories. That's actually a measurement of energy. Food has energy in it. What are our calories? What's our energy for endurance? That's what we want to know, right? Because if we're going to endure, we need the energy to do that. What do we have that gives us that kind of energy? The answer to that question is really simple. It's faith. Faith is the food of endurance. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the phrase by faith or through faith is found, depending on which translation you use, but it's found at least 20 times. All those people did all that stuff by faith. Faith was what moved them. Faith is what enabled the endurance. Why did Abraham leave his home, travel all that distance to a place he'd never seen? How did people endure the stonings and the beatings and the imprisonments and all of that? By faith. That's how. Faith was what empowered their endurance. Faith is the fuel of endurance. As Christians, we need faith in Almighty God to persevere in this race. To know that what is happening now is temporary. To believe in Him and His promises, that they will come to pass, that He is true, no matter what we're going through right now. It can be endured through faith. And it cannot be endured without it. How do we get that kind of faith? How do we have the faith to endure such things? The difficulties of our lives, that has already been said this morning. If you think, you know, 2022 is going to be easier than 21 or 20, how do you know that? It could be 1,000 times worse. And you say, oh, Steve, don't say that. We don't know. We don't know what's coming. There could be things far more difficult. There are a lot of things that have happened in history that are far more difficult than anything any of us have experienced the last 2 years. How are we going to get through that? How are we going to get through trials of our faith in our personal lives? By faith. Faith is the fuel. And what that means is we need to be looking unto Jesus. That's the other aspect of this, the other shoe, if you will. Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Running with endurance. It's one thing to say, run with endurance. Yeah, you just need to run with endurance. You need to run with endurance. How can I run with endurance? This is killing me. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Seeing Him by faith, we endure. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, next verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured what? The cross. Anybody been through the cross lately? He did. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. This, we don't need to just run by this. First, let's look at those two words, author and finisher, as the New King James has them. He is the originator, if you will. The beginner of, the writer of the story of our faith. He's the beginning of it, and he's the end of it. He's the author, and he is the finisher. So everything about faith is what? Jesus. You got that? Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last of our faith. And I might say that the word our isn't in there in any Greek text. He is the author and finisher of faith. Of faith. Look to him. Look to him. That's where faith is focused. He's the whole thing. He endured the cross. He's an example of enduring by faith. He died, but he died as a man. He was fully God in the flesh, we understand that, but God didn't die when Jesus died. The man Jesus died. 1 Peter 2 and verse 23, what does it say? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He committed his self and his very soul, his very being to God. Here's a man, the God-man, but he dies again. The man part's what dies. Fully trusting God. In Luke 23 and verse 46, his last words on the cross were, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Fully trusting God. Today, he is visible to us through faith, although he may be invisible to everyone around us. Maybe nobody else can see him. Nobody else understands who he is. But that's the nature of faith. The Hebrew writer starts by saying that, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 in the ESV, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I believe in Jesus. I have a conviction about him. I don't see him, but I see him. I'm looking to Jesus. You know, in Hebrews 11 and verse 27, it says that by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for, listen to this, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How did Moses endure? Saw him who is invisible. We are asked to do the same thing. Looking to Jesus. See Jesus and endure. That faith in him will be your strength, your energy, your power to endure whatever it is. So when you're sick and you're hurting, when you've lost a loved one, when trials become unbearable, when you've lost loved ones, finances, things that made you happy in this world. When you've lost friends, look to Jesus. When you've been tempted and tried and brought down to your last ounce of strength and courage, look to Jesus. He may be invisible to everybody else, but he's not invisible to us because we look by faith. He is the faithful witness. That's it. You know, we're surrounded, the Hebrew writer starts, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and they're all saying, we endured by faith. But there's one witness that's not talked about in Hebrews 11. And that's the one that's the most important witness. And his name is Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, Jesus is called the faithful witness. I endured. I endured the cross, he sang to us. I endured it because I trusted my Heavenly Father. You can endure too. So let's make Jesus our vision. Let's make Jesus our pursuit. I want to go now to Philippians 3 for just a minute. And notice a couple of things the Apostle Paul says here about the life that he lived and the goal that he was seeking to achieve. Talked about this a little bit on the radio this morning, but Philippians 3 and verse 8. He says, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. The Apostle Paul was focused on Christ. He was looking to Jesus. All the things that he lost before in his previous life, you know, his status, his achievements, his in Judaism, all of that, it didn't make any difference to Paul. That was trash. He was willing to give it all up that he might gain Christ. Verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. The CEV, the Contemporary English Version in Philippians 3 and verse 10, says, all I want to know is Christ. That's all I want to know. And when that's your focus, when you're looking to Jesus in that way, he becomes your goal. He is your goal. The goal isn't heaven. The prize is heaven. The goal is Jesus, being transformed, as we've said so often, into his image, looking at him, continually looking at him, emulating him, enduring like him. That's Paul's goal. And so in verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize. I want to be like Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to gain Jesus so I can go to heaven. I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The word translated goal there is from skopos in Greek. We get our word scope from that. It's what you've got your eye on. You know, you talk about scoping something out. What you've got your eye on. What does Hebrew writer say? Looking unto Jesus. Paul says, I've got my eye on Jesus. He's my goal. He's what I've got my scope on. Paul presses toward the goal. He's running toward the goal. Jesus. As we've said, the goal in this text is variously described in Philippians 3 as the excellence of the knowledge of Christ in verse 8, gaining Christ in verse 8, being found in him in verse 9, and knowing him in verse 10. We have need of Jesus as our goal and always looking to him and of endurance in order to receive the promise. You have a need of endurance. I have need of endurance. Times have been hard. The going's been tough. The losses have been great. The challenge is above our strength. There is no promise that things will get easier. It was the same for the Hebrews. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews. And you know, to appreciate what the Hebrew writer is doing in Hebrews 11 and the first part of 12, you almost have to look back into chapter 10 a little bit. In Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 32, he encourages these Hebrew Christians. He says, "Recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle of sufferings." They've been through some hard things. And he doesn't say what all they are, but he does mention some of them. He says, "Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated." So, first of all, people, you know, you're being made fun of, you're being ridiculed, you're a spectacle, you're going through these difficult times, persecutions apparently, and then not only that in your life, but all of your friends in Christ are going through the same thing. You know, your life is hard. It's one thing when your life is hard and everybody else can encourage you and pat you on the back because they're able to do that. But everybody is going through this extraordinarily difficult thing together. You were going through trials. All of your companions are going through trials. And then he says, "And then you had compassion on me and my chains. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods." People were coming and taking away their stuff, their possessions. Maybe it was government authorities. Maybe it was people who just wanted to give Christians a hard time. Maybe the economy had gotten so bad that your neighbors turned into robbers and thieves, as is the case in Zimbabwe right now. Maybe that's how it is. The writer says, "You joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise." You see that? He says, now what you're going to need, it's not over with yet. You've gone through all of this stuff. You've done great. It's not near over with yet. It's not over with yet. You need endurance. We need endurance. We're going to need it tomorrow and the next day and every other day that we live. We're going to need it. And then he writes to them, Hebrews 11. And he says, by faith, look at what these people did. They endured. And then he says, you run with endurance the race set before you, looking unto Jesus. You run the race set before you. Let's run it, whatever comes. I'm excited about our theme for this year. We will find, as we begin to examine from Scriptures these topics and these themes, that we need endurance in every aspect of our lives in Christ. That nothing will come easy. Jesus was not kidding when he called it a narrow and difficult way. But it's the way that leads to life. We need endurance. There's one here this morning who's ready to commit your life to Jesus, to look to him for your very salvation. Commit your life to him and do what you need to do to be saved. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing. Yeah.